What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Our Lives in Medicine. This episode features Stephanie, second-year podiatry student and future sports medicine practitioner. Stephanie is a former collegiate volleyball athlete who is no stranger to hard work. She is passionate about her studies and also about fashion, sneakers, and fitness. She also co-hosts the Step Into Pod podcast, which chronicles the experiences as a student chasing a dream. She has fought hard to achieve her goals and is on her way to being an amazing doctor. Check out this episode, and I hope you enjoy. And if you do, please feel free to share with others, like us on iTunes, and give us a rating, please. You have no idea how much we appreciate it. And as always, if you need some good beats to study or get some work done or just catch some good vibes, check out the lo-fi beats at the intro and outro and check the show notes for the artist shout out. Hope you guys have a great day and I hope you enjoy. Live with Stephanie. Where are you from originally?
Well, I'm from Southern California, but I was born and raised. I did like my high school and first 2 years of college in Illinois. So, you know, a little bit Midwest with a little bit of Cali.
Yeah. What part of Cali?
I'm from the Inland Empire. So, like, it's Rancho Cucamonga, but I also lived in San Diego for a little bit. So.
Okay.
It's my favorite city, hands down,
like
my favorite city.
Got you, yeah. I only know a little bit of California because my dad's from Palmdale, which is outside L.A., but...
Yes.
Yeah, that's the only part I know. You know, we do like Oakland, Inglewood, things like that, but I've never ventured up or down in California. It's just that area, like L.A. and then the desert, so...
Yeah, it has like that's the high desert right there.
It's super. Like where he's from, he's like from the desert. They grew up out in the cut of the desert. So, yeah, it's different. You know, I don't know. Like when I can see where my dad grew up and my mom grew up, it's like I complain about things. I'm like, I just need to shut up. So,
you know, you grow up in North Carolina?
Yeah, so I was born in North Carolina. I moved to Virginia when I was like 6 months old, and I lived there until I was 10, and then we moved back to North Carolina, and I lived North Carolina or Florida pretty much my whole life since then.
Okay, so East Coast for like definitely just East Coast.
Yeah, three states, that's it. North Carolina, right, Virginia, and Florida, that's it. I haven't really branched out living-wise, but I've traveled a bit, but I haven't branched out living-wise very much. And I'm staying up here for residency, too, in North Carolina. I'll be up in the mountains.
But you've traveled?
Oh, yeah. No, you're good. I haven't lived in too many states, but I've traveled a good bit. But, I'll be staying in North Carolina for residency, too, so I'll be here for a while.
That'll be nice. So that are you planning to work in North Carolina as well afterwards?
I'm going to apply for a fellowship after residency. I want to do sports med. I think we talked about that. We both want to do the sports med path. So that's my plan. So wherever that takes me. And then, you know, there's plenty of options after that, wherever big teams are. I would love to come back, though. There's like the Carolina Panthers, there's the Hornets, there's the Hurricanes. So if I can get a team up here, and there's also some good schools like Duke, UNC, Wake Forest.
Yes. And it'd be cool. You know, with that, you have to kind of start with and move your way up. It's not, you know, unless you really know someone and they're leaving. But so it's good that you have like the good college teams there as well.
Yeah, so you know it'll be cool. And no matter what, there's plenty of cool places. Like Texas has a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
Florida. You know, Georgia. I don't really love the north, like northeast, very much. So I'll probably avoid that. Like I would never want to live in New York.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I'd have to have a really crazy good salary to justify moving up there. And I don't think places are going to want to pay that, so we'll see.
You're like, I'm asking for a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to need about $3 million to live in Brooklyn, so I think they're going to say no.
With the rats. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, oh my God.
Thing, I'm like, I can't.
I don't like the fact, like with New York, it's so hustle and bustle that it's just really not my style. I think I have a lot of friends that live up there. It's fun to visit, but that's it for me.
I agree. That's how it is with Chicago. I was like, I am glad I grew up there just because it did give me my foundation and roots. But the city, I don't know. It's only a good place to visit. I don't feel like I could have lived there if I had a choice, you know?
Do you think Chicago is a good place to raise kids?
I think it is, but I grew up in the suburbs, so it kind of really depends where you are in Chicago. But it is a good Midwest. Values are different compared to like with schooling and just going through those season changes. You're not used to everything being perfect. And like, for instance, San Diego, I love the state, but I mean, I love the city, but it's just always perfect. So I would say it's fine, but just because you have that Midwest values of the season changes and just not seeing that life is always perfect, you know, so it's more realistic versus, and also I feel like with education, it's stronger there than versus California, and when I was in San Diego, everything is so perfect all the time. It's 70 degrees, it's sunny, everyone's nice. And then, I know when I came to Miami after that for school, I was like, wow, this is not realistic because everyone wasn't nice. People weren't walking by you smiling or saying hi. So I feel like that's kind of the only difference. But if I had a choice, I would still come to California for high school.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Miami is definitely a different place. I worked at University of Miami for a year before med school. And yeah, it's a different place, man. It's such a melting pot that there's a lot of different personalities up there.
Yeah.
It's also a really good place to study mental health, I'll tell you that.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
If you're a psychiatrist, you never run out of business, that's for sure.
I was like, that's very a good way to learn Spanish, you know, to kind of push it on you if you need to learn it.
That's true. That's true. You will definitely improve your Spanish living there. If you try.
Yeah, so. If I try. That's a goal.
But yeah, what was your route into school? Did you go straight from undergrad or did you take some time in between?
Yeah, so my route, I always knew I wanted to be a doctor. The sports medicine part grew probably more after college. And so after college, I moved to San Diego. I took 2 years off and kind of strengthened myself. I would try to take the MCAT then, and it was just hard. I learned the community, who you're around is makes such a big impact in your success and kind of attaining your goals. So that time I was trying to take classes and just get my GPA up from undergrad, and I felt like it still wasn't strong enough, so I applied for a post-bac and a master's program, and I started the master's program in 2016, and that's when I first came out to Florida, and I was in Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale area. So that kind of helped me, just being surrounded around pre-med, pre-dental, just healthcare, you know, with trying to get into school. So did that, my master's program, went back home for a year to apply, and then got into schools and decided to come back to Florida because it gave me the most scholarship and just one of the places I could see myself living for this time during school because I needed the warm weather. So
yeah,
that was kind of how my route grew.
That warm weather definitely helps, I feel like, compared to living in the Arctic of Chicago.
Yeah, I was like, I cannot. And once you're used to the warm weather, it's so hard to go back to it, especially that I never really liked the winter or the wind. So
yeah, I feel that. I feel that. So what did you study in undergrad?
I did psychology. So I was psychology and then pre-med. So I still did my prerequisites for med school and just applying, but I majored in psychology.
Okay. What else did you do in undergrad? Were you what else were you involved in?
Okay, so I transferred schools. I went to University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign my first 2 years, and I did volleyball there. And then, yeah, I did volleyball and I worked as a server most of my college years. Then when I transferred to the University of California, Riverside, that's when I decided to join a sorority, since that was always enticing to me, but I couldn't do it because I was on the volleyball team. So decided to join it when I transferred schools, and also did, I was an orientation leader in, at UCR, and I did peer mentor for like incoming first years and first years as well. So that's what I did. I also worked, so I felt like that kind of took up most of my time. And
So you had
I
kind of an
did.
interesting transition. You went from like an athlete to sorority girl, huh? That's cool. What was you said you played volleyball, right? What was kind of your average day as a collegiate volleyball athlete?
It was just, I went to school, did my classes, and then we had practice. At least we had practice all the time, and then we would travel most of the weekends. So we'll travel like every other weekend to go to play like either against another school, or we did tournaments. So, but it was heavy usually the fall season. That was
Okay,
usually.
yeah, and I'm sure that didn't leave a lot of time for a lot of other stuff. So when you switched, you were happy to have those other
Free
opportunities, kind of
time.
other life experiences. What sorority were you in?
I was Kappa Kappa Gamma.
Okay,
So,
sweet, sweet. And
yeah.
did you enjoy
You
that
heard of
experience?
them? KKG.
I think if I remember correctly, I believe my aunt. I think my aunt is a KKG, a Kappa.
Oh,
Don't quote me
wow.
on that. Don't quote me on that though. But
Well, the fact that you know it.
I'll text her and ask. I can't remember, but she's like super. She just won, you know, she graduated 20, 30 years ago, and she just won like a alumni award for her sorority pretty recently, so.
Wow, that's what I love. My like the sorority did, like even though I know a lot of people are not for it, but they really do help you out even post college. So I've gotten two scholarships from them for 2 years. Just one in my master's, and I got one before starting, right when I started my first year here. So I'm really happy like that I did it, and like I learned like a lot of leadership positions through there since I had it. Ever since I joined, I started like with the leadership positions in my sorority. So
That's
I
sweet. I'm sure
felt
that helped kind of, you know, boost your resume when you were applying as well, you know, having leadership and things like that.
yeah, it did, and I feel like it also just taught me a lot about like delegation and like working in a team setting and like the ins and outs of like being on the board. The things like you can't learn in school. It's only through like involvement and like being in a like having a leadership position in your organization. And since I was working with so many girls, it really helped me know how to handle a large group of people.
Yeah, that's nice. And I'm sure that it was nice being around other women who are also, you know, handling business and doing their thing as well.
Yeah, and you'd have the ones that didn't handle business and didn't carry there, so
Those the, like any it doesn't matter what gender you are, you got to stay away from those. So, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. So, what about when you were applying, what's kind of what was your interview kind of season like to get into school?
My interview season.
Like did you do a bunch of interviews, and what were kind of the interviews like?
So I actually did MD and podiatry interviews. So I had one Indiana, and then I had about like four of them for podiatry. And at this point, I kind of decided to apply for podiatry after applying for the MD. So it was like the application cycle is in August. It starts in August. So at this point, like after interviewing, I did all my interviews back to back. I kind of had it. I went from Indiana, which my interview was in Gary, so it was by Chicago. And then I went to Philly, then Philadelphia, then I went to Philadelphia. And then I had San Francisco before that, right before that, and then came to Miami. So I had that all, I was just traveling each day, like each, after each interview to kind of, to just get them all done. With. And the interviews were all different. I feel like they were mostly asking you to get questions about your application, any weaknesses you had. That was the most common I saw with all the interviews. They would ask like about specific grades that were low, or they would ask about like if you had like a low MCAT score, if you had any area in the MCAT, like with the subcategories that you were low, they asked that you about that specifically. A lot of like volunteer experiences they asked about, and just for you to expand on that. But it was, I felt like the more you were yourself and the less rehearsed it was, because you had to kind of get that, the site, you kind of, how would I explain? So you had to kind of not psych yourself out as much and be yourself and know that they were interested in you as well, but you wanted to portray yourself as a, you would be a good contribution to their school and a good addition to their school. I mean, so that was kind of the part I learned, is not to be too rehearsed, but still have your taught like ideas that you want to cover, ways to make it sound still concise, but that you answer the question directly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. I think that goes for anything, you know, nursing, podiatry, whatever. It probably like, you know, they can, I feel like they can weed out people who are kind of just, you know, getting, you know, kind of what's the word? Not really being truthful, you know. They can weed that out. So what made you pick podiatry?
So I applied again, like I applied to MD and DO the year before the cycle I got in, and I had 3-4 interviews, but I really was so nervous. The interview, I was so nervous. I felt I put so much weight on myself and I wasn't able to fully be myself. So I felt that the interview process really hindered my acceptances. And that's how I knew how much weight that it really did have, because you hear so much, but just actually going through it is when you can actually know what's true and what's not. So during that time, during my master's, I shadowed a podiatrist, and he was actually he worked in a practice, but he also, or not practice, he worked with a hospital in a practice, but it was linked with Mercy Hospital. So I was able to kind of see another route to get to sports medicine. And the fact I wanted was, the thing I wanted was to have a guarantee of going into sports medicine, because that was the one thing I really wanted to do. And I know, like I know that it could, like with MDDO is like kind of based on how like you do on boards and everything, so it might not be guaranteed, so that kind of got me scared. So
yeah,
I just applied for podiatry as well, so I can have that other option.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's a smart move, covering all your bases, especially if you know exactly what you want to do. What was it about sports med that drew you in? So, I mean, it sounds like that's definitely what you want to do. It sounds like you've done that for a while. What about that particular focus is so interesting for you?
As a past athlete, like, I understood the discipline and the mindset of an athlete, and I love the atmosphere of being around athletes, or even, like, runners, anyone with fitness. And that's the crowd that you will be, that the demographics that I'll be working with mostly. So it kind of grew after like shadowing Dr. Lozito. I shadowed the ortho as well, and I kind of saw the surgeries he did. And I'm like, I'm a hands-on person. I grew up with a single mother, so I was the one who was like helping like put together like cabinets, or help put it together like when we had like a computer desk, so little things like that. And it always came easy to me. So just after shadowing orthopedics and kind of saw how hands-on everything was, and that I can relate that to my real life every day while also working with athletes and being in the atmosphere of athletes, because you're also working with like with PTs, athletic directors, everything, and just knowing that they have that medical aspect of it and to combine it, I just felt it was perfect. I don't know, I feel like that's what I could be naturally good at and that I will always enjoy every day.
Yeah, so. I think it's a very enjoyable patient population. I'm the same way. That's kind of one of the things that drew me in. You know, I tried to go into school with an open mind, and I actually started out kind of like you said, I started out wanting to do surgery, but then it kind of just, it grew on me that that's not for me. And so I think that as I went through rotations, I kind of had the idea of, you know, I want to do sports med, but doing more rotations kind of helped me realize that that was definitely what I wanted, because I couldn't see myself having a 20-30 year career doing certain other things. Like, I couldn't see myself doing GI. I couldn't see myself doing surgery or anything like that. Like, definitely not peds. That's not my thing. So it's just like, yeah, sports med. It was nice to be reaffirmed that sports med was the jam. So I definitely am on your side for that one. So
yes. And it's, you know, it's something that we'll always love and like be able to connect with the people as well. Cause honestly, if I have never broken a bone or anything, but if I were like, if I did that while I was an athlete, I would want someone who understands where I'm coming from and how much this means to me, you know? So I feel like just having that kind of past experience and like knowing what it is to be an athlete, or the mindset that you have, you need to be successful and to continue playing, is like going to be a good asset to being a sports medicine doctor.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. And then looking at, you know, options besides sports medicine, let's say you're graduating and you want, what are some other things you can focus on after podiatry school? What are other fields of focus you can go into besides sports?
Okay, so with podiatry, the good thing is that you get guaranteed surgery. So everyone is trained to be, to do foot and ankle surgery. So if you want to do surgery, you could do that. There's wound care. They have a lot of subspecialties. So there's wound care, there's plastics, there's you could focus on just rare foot or forefoot surgeries. There's like a lot of podiatrists work with the diabetic population, so that's you could do that, and that kind of relates with the wound care. And then we have like podo pediatrics, and that's working with like a pediatrics but podiatrist as well. And what else? There's a lot. There's you have like trauma. There's, yeah, so if I were to do it, I was also interested in podopediatrics, but I don't know. I feel like you said, how you kind of just really decided from rotation, I feel like that will find, like, help direct me exactly on what I want to do. But as of right now, I'm like sticking, I hope like sports medicine is a goal, and hopefully I could just, like, if that's where I'm supposed to be, hopefully that it's easy to just leave me right there.
Yeah, yeah. I think going into rotations with an open mind is important, but definitely more of the fact that looking at, okay, could I do this for 20 or 30 years? And I think, like you said, sports, I'm sure you could do for 20 or 30 years. Make sure there's other things that you could maybe may or may not do for 30 years, and then that would really help you out, I think. So yeah, just don't write anything off without having experienced it is my advice, but definitely keep your goal in sight though. So
yes, which is that's why I'm excited to kind of like when we have more of our clinical year and externships, I'm excited about that, just so we get more insight on what these other subspecialties are like and what they do in a day in a life, because obviously, I just saw a sports medicine subspecialty of podiatry, so that's just one perspective on podiatry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, so what, in your opinion, what are things, you know, as a student you can do to stand out for when you're going to the next step?
In regards to applying or in school?
Once you're in school, what are things you can do to kind of stand out when you're applying for jobs or applying for residency and fellowship things later on?
Right now, I'm still learning exactly what needs to be done, but the things I have heard from the, my older classmates is just being involved in all the, there's always a lot of like volunteer opportunities with the organizations at our school, the workshops, taking leadership positions, and most of all, especially your first 2 years, is keeping your grades strong. I know it's hard to, like, you have a lot of pressure, it's hard to get that. Like, everyone is type A in med school. Usually you have a couple that aren't, but most people are type A, and you put a lot of pressure in getting those grades with that you're used to getting in undergrad. So I feel like just doing the best you can with grades, but not that you're taking your mental health out of hand with it, you know? So I think those are the four things I would say that are really important with, like, being able to have first experience. And then if you, I know they have opportunities to, if you want to go to clinics and kind of just network with the doctors there and kind of see what they're doing to get that early exposure, that is also something they recommend, but they don't recommend that till second year.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Kind of get what you can while you can at the right time. Okay.
Yeah. How about with you? How is it for, like, now that you're in residency, is there any tips that you would recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I think for one, like you said, grades is super important. That's something you just can't get over. You know, you have to keep your grades up. It doesn't look good to kind of just get by. You can do the best you can. That's good. But it's okay to just get by. That's not a problem. It's just, you know, if you're really wanting to go for something competitive, got to keep your grades up. And things besides the grades, research is important. It might be tough to get on a published research project. So what you can do is case study posters, interesting cases, and just present those at conferences. That was really a fun way to meet program directors, really fun way to meet other students and residents. When I was in school, I did probably 6 or 7 presentations, just posters. I did a couple of poster competitions, things like that as well. And that was really fun. And I think that's an easier way to get exposure and boost your resume. Also, just community, I think community service is really good. And just pick one thing. I know my school, we had to do 80 hours between the first 2 years. But if you just pick one thing and kind of stick with it, you can get enjoyment out of the routine of it. So some people did 2 hours at the Red Cross and then 2 hours at the homeless shelter, or, you know, you don't really get any, I personally wouldn't get any enjoyment out of that. I did the majority of my hours at a homeless shelter, and that gave me things to talk about during my interviews as well. So I think a dedicated community service, getting involved in, you know, poster presentations, and then have an extracurricular that kind of like makes you human as well. I think a lot of programs are going to want to see that you're a normal human being, that all you do isn't just study and work. So if you have like an extracurricular, just make sure, and it can be anything, you know, a sport, a music, you know, playing an instrument, things like that. So just whatever you can do extracurricular to show your kind of human side, I think is also a good way to stand out.
Okay.
Because if you do even just one or two of those things, you'd be surprised how many of your other classmates don't have those. So all things even, you know, good grades, and then you roll in with other things that you can, you know, relate to patients with, that'll really help you stand out.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And also, I know I didn't research, like, before. I think that kind of made my path longer into getting into med school was researching early enough on, like, the schools and what they require, and kind of knowing how to make myself attain that and, like, become ready for applying. I didn't think about that back in undergrad, and I felt like now I'm kind of like looking, like, just, you know, browsing through the residencies, like what they're looking for. Do you think that's smart doing that? Because I feel that it's kind of giving me an idea of how much I need to push, or like if I want this specific residency at this spot, you know, with the bigger cities, it's harder, it's more competitive. So would you say that?
Yeah, for sure. I think, like you were saying, applying into school for the first time, that's important to look at their average GPA, look at their average board scores that they accept. And if you're, you know, within like half a standard deviation of that or above, you have a really good shot of getting in there. If you're 2 or 3 standard deviations below, you might want to honestly save the money and not even apply potentially, and just try to retake those exams and get, you know, a little boost. I'm not saying don't try. If you have the money and time, go for it. But if you don't have the money and don't have the time, I would just say take an extra year and try to get your scores up. Once you're in, I hate to say, I know this is probably unsettling to certain people, but I think the sooner you can figure out what you want, the better, because then you can start focusing in, okay, I want to do case presentations in this particular topic. I want to reach out to every faculty that I can in that field. I want to talk to as many residents and practitioners in that field as I can to get letters, get shadowing opportunities, things like that. So I think one of the things that helped me with that too was going to club meetings during first and second year and seeing what that field has to offer. That was really eye-opening to see, okay, anesthesia is like this, or radiology looks like this, surgery looks like this, and kind of helping you weed things in or out, I think would also be a good advice. So just try to figure out what you want as soon as possible, because then you can kind of tailor your experience to getting into that field.
Okay, that makes sense.
And lucky you already know sports med is the gem. So, you know, you can already
tailor. Right, right.
You can kind of tailor yourself in that way. But I feel bad for people who maybe middle of third year figure out, oh, I want to do, urology. It's like, man, that is late in the game to figure that out. It's not impossible. Right. It's just a lot harder than the person who second semester, first year figured it out and has been doing everything they can, you know? So.
Right.
I hate to rush people, but it's like in my opinion, the sooner the better, because you can really tailor yourself to be a good applicant for that field.
And we know the process isn't quick with medicine, even applying into it, being in it. If you need to get your grades up, that's not just, oh, let me 2 weeks. It's going to take you half a year or a year to do that. Yeah. So like you said, I completely agree. Like, knowing ahead of time and trying to at least hone down on like what it is specifically I want, I can see that really helping.
It's a game of chess, not checkers. That's for sure. So
right.
Let's see. So having done your first year already, what was kind of some of the things you liked or disliked class-wise? What were some of your favorite or least favorite classes?
Okay. My favorite classes, like first year, were biochemistry and anatomy. And I just liked it because it all made sense. Like, biochemistry it makes sense. This is why your body is doing this. You know, so that was... those are two of my favorites. And my least favorite was, like, I think I would have to say histology or physiology. I know physiology was interesting in a way, but it really depends who your professor is in teaching the material, because it is so dense. And our professor just tried to make life harder for us. So it was more of a stressful situation when I thought about physiology versus, okay, this is how the body works.
Yeah, I think histo is a good call. I honestly forgot histo was even a class. I haven't even thought about it since first semester. I didn't love histo because it's like, if I'm going into surgery or going into sports med, I can't see the need to understand the intricacies of like splenic histology and pathology. So it was a tough sell for me, but I got through it, but definitely wasn't pleasurable.
I know, that's the thing. You're going to have those classes you don't like. You're just like, I need to just get through this and move on.
Absolutely. Let me just get through this suffering and hopefully get to something a little more interesting and relevant to my future. So, yeah.
Yes, yes.
I definitely know how that goes. And, you know, it's just like an undergrad. You're like, man, I have to study physics, or I have to study, like, orgo to get into school. And it's like, what a waste. But it's just something you got to do. So might as well not even fret over it. Just try to push through, because other people, your competition is, they're doing it, you know, and they're not batting an eye, you know. So you got to just grit your teeth and get through it, unfortunately.
Yes, I agree.
So what about, like, we're talking about kind of undergrad and, you know, being in school, professional school now. How do you think you have changed as a person from, you know, undergrad to now?
Wow, that's a lot, drastically. I felt like Undergrad, everything was just okay. Next year, next semester, you had everything planned for you. You didn't have to do too much independent thinking. I felt like some people did do that, but for me, I felt like those 2 years I took off and my master's program kind of shaped me into like being mentally ready for professional school. And the thing that I've learned being in professional school is your mental health, your the way you handle stress, and just your maturity level is so big in like helping you with succeeding and knowing how to time management and study all these things. Only some people master in undergrad, and that's just with having early exposure, having someone that kind of showed them how to do it, and like they were able to have like that mentor, that model to help them out with knowing how to handle all that stuff. But I really having the life experience and knowing, having that time off to kind of find why I wanted to do medicine, and is this really like what I wanted, or was it kind of something I just, oh, you know, I want to do this, like this is what it is. So that solidified my drive and my desire to give everything 110% to seize opportunity when now that I am in professional school. So I'm not just laxed and just being like, okay, don't worry about it, I'll do that next time. I'm more like, okay, they're sending this workshop, I'll be there, mark it in my calendar. Like every little opportunity that I could get and that like relates to what I want to do or will help me learn more, expose me more to more things. I feel like just having that drive, it definitely has been, it's lit. It's more than I had before. I was going through the motions and now I'm actually doing this with purpose and more passion. And it definitely, I hope it shows in what I do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I like that a lot. It's like a really cool type of growth to say, you know, now I'm not just going through the motions. Now I'm eager to learn even the things that kind of suck or that are irrelevant to my future. I still am going to knock them out and make sure I do them to the best of my ability. That's just, I mean, that's just, you know, when we were kids, that's what our parents did, you know, and that's kind of, I think, shows the sign of maturity. So it's like when you don't appreciate that as a kid, what your parents go through, you know, they're like, I don't want to take this stupid kid to school. I don't want to wake up early to get this kid dressed, you know,
but they have to do it.
They just do it, man. And they do it without complaint. Well, most parents don't complain about it. So, so that's kind of, like you said, that's a great sign of maturity, and that'll just set you up for success down the road. I think that's awesome. Learning what you can, cause you never really know when it'll come in handy and help a patient. So that's definitely a good point.
Agree. That's like, I'm like, why am I serving? I was a waitress in like a business club, a beach restaurant, like a PF chain, stuff like that. And I was like, why? Like, what is this doing for me other than, you know, you're getting your money that you need at the time. But it really helped me know how to talk to different people and like every person, like the different types of people you're interacting with and how to kind of find a connection with them. And I feel like that is going to be a very, very big factor in helping me with patient-doctor communication and knowing how to relate to that person in that situation versus, like, you know, a lot of people have bad connotations of going to a hospital or seeing the doctor. So just being able to kind of, you need to do this, but get your mind off of it and relate to them, I feel like that makes you an even better physician. So.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I totally agree with that, and that's a really cool point to hear from you and kind of hopefully look for it myself down the road, you know, it's kind of just grow up. So it's glad that you did it so early. That's good. You know, one question I wanted to ask is, you know, how do you feel within medicine, how do you feel kind of your role of representing Black culture is within medicine?
I feel like, especially as a Black woman, it gives people hope. It gives, like, because a lot of things is like you're not able to see someone in that situation, especially with the Black community, because it's such a small percentage of physicians. So just like knowing that you're able to have that struggle, but you have people who are advocating for you and who are want to see you succeed and not just shut down your dream. So that is, and I'm really hoping to, once I am, to like give back in that way of like mentoring and like hopefully like further down the line, like providing STEM scholarships for like STEM students and people who are like super young wanting to do this. So
yeah,
just the hope of like, okay, I can do this, not I have to be a nurse or I have to, nothing wrong with nurses, but just like that you can go do the top thing. You can be the physician, you can be the surgeon, you can be whatever you want to be, you know?
Yeah, and that's a good point. It's like you said, there's nothing, we're not taking shots at any other field in the healthcare field. It's all, they're all vital, they're all important for the success of the treatment of a patient. And it's nice to see, you know, just nice to show younger, you know, kids of, you know, minority children that there are opportunities for you in things besides the big three, what is it, drugs, sports, and rap, you know. So it's nice to see that there is success. There are opportunities for success outside the big three, and here's people who are doing it. So I think it's nice to kind of serve as that role model and let them know that there's other ways you can be successful. And there's so many people involved in those big three that are really intelligent that could be serving other causes as well. So it's a shame. It's nice to not let that talent go to waste. So yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. So yeah, I mean, I like to ask that question for my fellow minority guests, just to kind of get that perspective and give that perspective, especially with what's going on right now in the country. It's definitely a interesting time. So
yeah, it's definitely like you could just see a lot of held anger and held like just everything was held inside, and now our generations, we're the people who are making change, like with LGBT, everything. We're that generation to kind of speak up. So I feel like this was the time that everything was supposed to happen, because it's going to be a turning point. So we will see how everything goes, but it's good to see like everyone speaking up, and kind of, I think it kind of just, what'd you say, you know, broke the, what is it called, with the broke the, in the camel's back, or?
Oh yeah, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yes, yes, it was just the breaking point. So we just have to kind of use our voice and do what we can to see the change we need to just make it more peaceful for everyone. You know, everyone has their own stressors in life. So just this thing that's systematic, just to kind of get that, alleviate that, and make it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. I'm glad that, you know, you have a goal within your, you know, within yourself to represent, you know, the Black culture in a certain way. And that's nice to hear as well. You know, just, it's nice to see and hear that there's people that are trying to, you know, do better in their own ways. So everyone can help in their own way. And this is one way we can help. So that's great.
Yeah.
So transitioning kind of off of the, you know, we talked for a hot minute about the healthcare side of you, the student side of you. What about outside of that? Like, what do you do for fun? What are some of your hobbies?
Ooh, I love, like, now it's not happening, but I love, love, love traveling, and that kind of developed more like after post-college. So I love traveling. I'm a big music person. I think I went to a concert every month in 2019. So I'm always listening to music, all different types of music. And I'm also really big in working out and just kind of health and wellness, growing in that and learning more and trying to always have like that goal of, okay, let me try this new. Like, I tried bar for the first time, like I think a couple months ago, and I'm like,
what's bar?
Oh my gosh, like bar, it's isometric workouts. So you are doing you're just like kind of holding a position, or you are pulsing a little bit, and it's kind of puts in ballet with isometric workouts, I guess. So
I think I've seen that before. Yeah, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it is hard. Like, I'm telling you, I'm the person that is like squatting at the gym. Like, I would lift every day. And I'm like, okay, I'm pretty strong. You know, not the strongest, but I'm pretty strong. And I go to bar and I'm like, wow, okay. I need body control because that's what I learned. That shows you how much body control you have. And I was sore
Interesting.
after that. So, yeah, I'm
Yeah, I
always trying
bet.
something different and new and
That's
that.
sweet, yeah. And what are
But I
some of the,
also
I'm sorry.
tutored. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, sorry. I said I also tutored. So I love working with children. So I also was tutoring while before I got into med school. I was tutoring. So I kind of now do that online, even though now that schools are shut down for the year. I was when school were open, I was able to tutor virtually, and like I helped a lot of students with like SAT prep, ACT prep, and just applying for college, because a lot of people do not know, and a lot of families do not know about things like FAFSA and how to do that. So that was something I really, really enjoy doing, and hopefully I could do that again once schools open back up.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, there's plenty of people who are ready and willing and capable, but just don't know how to get even just the basics of getting started. So that's cool that they have, you know, you as a resource. That's good. What are some of your favorite places that you've traveled?
Okay, so my favorite place, I have to do like top three because but my favorite one is Greece. I love Greece, the people, the island, the water, everything was beautiful, especially Santorini. That was one of my favorites. I love Switzerland, and my sister actually lived there for a few years, so that was always kind of like a good middle place for me, and it's clean, it's respectful, it's diverse. That was a great place. And then I have to say also Budapest. I went to Hungary, and oh, and Ibiza. Yeah, so I love the water, the island, and then also Budapest. They had a lot of castles and buildings. The architecture was beautiful. So I don't know, every place I went to Europe a lot, so I kind of did a Euro trip and a Euro tour, I guess, and they were all so different. So those have to be my favorites that I went to, but they're all different. It really kind of depends what you're looking for. And summer was definitely the time to go.
Yeah, of course. Unfortunately, if you had those big plans right now, that wasn't gonna happen. But
Yes, it was a lot of
that's
trips
pretty cool.
canceled.
That's pretty cool though. And then you said you went to a lot of concerts in 2019. What were some of the concerts you went to?
I went to this concert called Black. It was with he's a artist from Atlanta, and he was with Ari Lennox. I went to where else? Sorry, it's like I'm trying to think back to that year. I went to a Meg Thee Stallion concert. I went to who else did I go to that year? I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think. I think. Yeah, I don't know. I have to like look back. It's kind of the year was a blur, but I did. Trying to think of who else I went to.
I know
Oh,
what you
I
mean,
went to
though.
J. Cole. J. Cole. Like it's been a blur,
Yeah, I was
like
gonna say, I
because
know what you mean. It's definitely a blur. But J. Cole, I saw him live like, God, like 8, 9, 10 years ago, something like that. Like when Sideline Story had just come out, he did a show at his college down the street from where I grew up. Like, and I got to see that. That was amazing. So that's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, he was. That was my first concert going to him, and he was very, very. It was just like motivational. Like you know, it's like one of those that you. He's also speaking so much wisdom that you just have to like sit and think. He always did. I don't know if he did. He do that with you? I know this is earlier concert that he would like just take a time and kind of really truly feel speak to the crowd about how he was feeling about things, and it was
Yeah,
just yeah, it
he was
was
like super
different. It was
thankful for everyone
different.
being there and kind of sharing that experience with him, and it was awesome. Yeah, it was a very intimate concert, like you said. So yeah, even now I think I've heard as big as he's gotten, he still kind of keeps that intimacy with his performances. So that's cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Sweet.
I don't know why I'm blanking on that though, but.
No, I know what you mean though. It's like, yeah. If you ask me right now, things, concerts I've went to recently, I'd be like, I've gone to a bunch. I think I saw Tory Lanez like 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
That's the last one I can remember. I know I've been to more, so. Oh, I saw the Chainsmokers too. Oh,
ooh,
Tory Lanez was.
They were good.
Tory Lanez was really good live. I mean, so much energy. Like, it was 2016 when I saw him. So, like, I Told You had just dropped, and he did like a tour for that. And then, or maybe it was right before that, I can't remember. But as soon as I saw him, like 3 weeks later, he was all over the radio. I think it was just when I Told You dropped, like a couple weeks later. And
wow.
Like Love and all those other songs came on.
Yes.
They were huge, and he had just blown up. And I got to see him in like a pretty small venue in Fort Lauderdale, so that was pretty awesome. And like the next time he came through Fort Lauderdale, my second year of med school, it was like in a coliseum. You know, it was packed, and it wasn't like that anymore. So I got lucky with that.
Yeah, I know he definitely worked hard to do that, because I know he wasn't getting the recognition he was getting earlier, and then. Definitely worked hard to get that larger concert. Wow.
Yeah, so that was cool. And the Chainsmokers did a thing, I think my first year in Miami. They had a huge show in Miami, and like a week later they were you know, on their way up, and then their bubble bursted and they just blew up. And
with that
like
song with Halsey.
Yeah, that one, I forget, don't ask me. That's, see, I'm blanking too. I can't remember the name of it, but that one was really cool. And like
Closer,
yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yes.
Something about being young or something. I can't. We ain't never getting older. That one.
Yes.
Yeah, that one. And that one was really cool too. So, and that's like, I've seen a couple others, but like you said, I'm blanking. So, we'll forgive each other.
Right. It seems like we like a lot of the same things too.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, you're in a good spot down there in Miami for just concerts from all over the world.
Yes.
I'm hoping that the world opens back up by October, because there's this one like electronic artist that I really like named Emancipator. Ooh. And he's going to be performing up in Asheville where I'm going to be. So I'm hoping that'll still happen.
Ooh.
That'd be sweet.
Yes, I know all the tours that like is hindering the entertainment business right now, because they have to put that on hold. So like, fingers crossed, I hope that happens for you.
Yeah, same. So, and then I also remember when we talked, you have a nice little puppy, right?
Yes.
It was what was it? Shih Tzu Terrier mix, you told me?
Yes, Shih Tzu Terrier mix. He's now 6 months, June 1st.
Oh, wow, just a little baby.
Fully potty trained right now, finally.
Oh, nice. A lot less stress on you now, huh?
Yes. No more liners in the house. I could probably put my carpet down soon.
Oh, huge relief, right? Yeah, they grow up so fast.
They do. I'm like, oh my gosh, when I have a kid, I'm going to be so sad, because I know, like, this is 6 months, and I feel like he's a full dog already.
I know, right? Yeah, I mean, I've had mine since 2014, so it's been, like, what, 6 years? So she's almost eight now, because she was, like, a 1.5 when I got her. So you just grow like so much. Every day you grow more and more close to them too, and it's just like amazing when you finally hit that point. You like, you look back, you're like, wow, I can't imagine not having you. So yeah, that's awesome.
Right.
So one of the
dog
questions
parents.
I like to. Oh, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I just said dog parents.
Yeah, dog parents. That's it. It's a good. I think that's better than being a real parent, honestly.
Yeah. At least for now.
So, like, one of the questions I like to ask every guest just about is, what did you get in trouble for as a kid?
Ooh, in trouble for as a kid. I was actually a very, very, very shy kid. So I would say probably not speaking up. Like, I would always be scared to ask my dad for something, because I'm already thinking he's going to say no. So I think I was a big overthinker, and I was very impatient. There's this one time I played softball as a kid. So my mom, she'll always run late. Like, she was never on time. So like I once threw a donut game. I started walking towards her. I was like, I started walking towards where my house, like the route to my house, and I would be like, oh, can you meet me here? I'm like this. So she would always be like, you need to work on your patience. You need to work on that. Like, patience is a virtue. She always had her little motivating sayings and like, you need to know that this is so important. So I felt like that was one thing I would always like get, either like not speaking up and also working on my patience at the same time. I know they're completely different, but
that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was a pretty good kid. I was the one who was like the mother goose ever since I was little. Like, let me help you with this. I'll do that. Like, yes, I was very selfless but impatient.
Are you an only child?
I'm not an only child. I have two younger siblings, but I'm the oldest.
Okay.
So, you know, the oldest. I don't know. What about you? Are you?
I'm an only child. I'm an only child.
Okay.
Apparently that's a thing. There's like a personality for only child syndrome. Yes. But I don't know. I guess I don't. I play well with others. I don't mind sharing. I think when I was really
little. You have a lot of friends? Okay.
I do have a lot of friends. I have a lot of cousins too. So
okay,
I mean, I've always made friends pretty easily. I'm really outgoing. I was kind of the opposite of you. I probably talked too much as a kid. I was really outgoing, but I mean, I've always made friends pretty easily. And I have a lot of cousins. Like, my mom's one of like 8 kids, and my dad's one of 13. So like, there's a lot of kids. My parents were the only ones that didn't have at least 2 kids. So I have a lot of cousins. Yeah,
so that probably is why you're a little bit different. You're surrounded with all your cousins and family, so it kind of, and you know, you have to learn how to share with them. And
I grew up with them too. We all lived within like 2 hours of each other, so it was nice to have, like, you know, big events and we always got together for big events, every graduation, every holiday, every birthday. We all had like, you know, some sort of celebration. Oh, so it was cool. So
that's really nice.
Yeah, although I did want a sibling when I was little, so I could have someone to play with. But then when I hit like 9, I was like, I'm happy to be the only person, you know, getting stuff, because I don't have to share anything. So,
right, you get all the attention from both your parents.
Yeah, exactly, and no hand-me-downs, nothing like that. So I was good with that. Yes. So that's funny. So, as big sister, did you kind of have to straighten your little siblings out, or did they kind of got in line on their own?
So I would say they kind of got in line on their own, but I was the one to kind of pave the way in the way, but kind of like, I'll be the first one to, okay, this didn't work. Like, then my younger sister was like, she did it better when it came to her time, you know? So I don't know what you would call that exactly, but I was the one to kind of the trial kid, or to learn, you know, with the older sibling, they're usually the ones to kind of learn how to do something, especially that my parents, I'm first generation, so they didn't really know how to do all these things on their own. So I was one who was learning how to do it or finding out the information, and then my younger siblings had that available, so it made it easier for them.
Yeah, that is lucky for them, yeah. See, I had to figure it out all on my own.
Yeah, see, you had to do, and that's what, and you know, it's a little bit harder, but it's still doable.
Yeah, got through it. We made it through, right?
Right, we're becoming doctors. You're a doctor. Congratulations.
Thank you. It still hasn't. It's funny. I just got my. I know, right? I just got my medical license in the mail, and it still hasn't really set in. So I don't know when it's gonna hit me, but eventually, I hope.
Yes, probably when you start, you know, you're around people and they start calling you doctor for real, you're like, huh? Me? Is that me?
I know, I'm going to miss a lot of calls at first. Like, doctor, I'm like, huh, who, what? So, got to get used to it. But, so, you know, I have 4 questions I like to end with. If you want to hit the wrap-up questions, you cool with that?
Yeah, of course.
All right, cool. So, you know, I ask this to every single guest. Take as long as you want to flush out the answer or whatever, and then we'll go from there. So the first question is, what are keys to success in podiatry school?
I would say collaboration, being able to work well with others and being open to working well with others, maturity, having maturity to understand different perspectives, because now you are in that professional setting and you have, you're with the some of the top people in the like world, so, or in, especially in the US, so you want to just being able to understand different perspectives and being open to it. And organization, time management, they go hand in hand, and knowing how to organize your time and use your time efficiently, because this is a big thing in med school, is learning how to, all the workload, how to organize that. And also study skills, I think that kind of goes in hand. The best way to study for yourself and how, what works best for you, and if it doesn't, being able to pull back, reevaluate, and do something new. So that kind of goes hand in hand with just each semester has been so different. So knowing how to look back at what you did, and if you're doing the right things, keep doing it. If not, how to reevaluate, change your surroundings or whatever, the people you're studying with, whatever you need to study skills to become that success, be successful in class. Because I think med school is a boot camp. So yeah, that is what I think it is. It's mentally preparing you, physically preparing you for everything, and also knowledge-wise, just helping you be able to have all that in your brain and officially know how to understand it. If not, like, you know, memorization is what you're doing a lot, but you fully want to understand what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the second question is, for you personally, has podiatry school been what you expected?
Yes, I'm happy I chose this. It's not very different from med school at all. Like, we still do the first, from like MDDO, we still are doing the first 2 years with sciences, but with like kind of the basic science classes you're doing, but just you're focused right away. So I know I want to do lower leg, so it's everything I'm learning. I love the environment. I love being in Miami.
I bet. Better than Chicago,
yeah,
right?
Right. Better than Chicago, better than Des Moines. You know, they do have a lot of locations all over, or nine, soon 10 in Texas, all over the U.S., but I feel like this was the most ideal for me, just having, being in a big city and a diverse city, because it's something different that other place is like Miami, you know that.
There is no place like Miami, that is for sure. So that's funny. Yeah. And then the third question is, what is your advice to up-and-coming students looking to get into school?
My advice is, knowledge is power. So make sure, don't be afraid to ask any questions. Don't be afraid to reach out, shoot emails, ask anyone that you know might be in the path. If there's someone that you feel might not know, they might know someone. So just like exposing yourself to what you need to do to be able to go on this path. And I didn't have that available to me easily. Like I'm the only person who wants to do medicine in my family. So just, I listen to podcasts. There's so many things out there via like Instagram, podcasts, online. So you are able to find what you need. You just have to take that initiative and be proactive, because this is, if you really want something badly, know that it's not going to be easy and you do have to work hard, especially for medicine. So, you know, if it was easy, everyone would be able to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not easy. That is for
sure. Yeah, yes.
It is not easy. So along that line, the last question is, if you woke up tomorrow and you were 10 years old and you had to do it all over again to get back to where you are right now, would you do it all over again?
Yes, I would. I would definitely do it all over again. And I am so happy I'm doing this. But the only thing I would change is have, like I said, knowing more information early on, so I could be in this, I could have been in this earlier and could have finished earlier. So that was my main thing, but you know, everything happens the way it's supposed to. So
yeah. Well, it's a good thing that you know, people coming up have people like you ahead of them to advise them and help them understand the process and make it a little more simple, because it's not easy. It's like a huge puzzle just getting into school. It's another puzzle to get through school and then, you know, navigate a career successfully. So that's a good thing that, you know, you're doing mentoring and things like that. That's really good.
Yeah. And I, like, a lot of people, that was one thing I didn't know a lot about podiatry. So you kind of just hear a couple of things here and there, like toe clipping, you hear little things, but just having that exposure, that's why I decided to start my Instagram page about podiatry and exposing it specifically. So, like, I am hoping to, like, help anyone with mentorship or anyone who kind of wants another option in the healthcare, because I know it is getting more and more stressful to apply to specifically just MDDO, but there are other options for people to do to still be in the healthcare, be in a health professional. So just, like, if, like, my page is at Step Into Pod, and it's just our way to kind of show that there are real people, and we are like women. I'm doing it with one of my classmates too, that are doing this, and that there's more than one option of getting into medicine. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's great. I'm glad that's a resource for people to take advantage of. So yeah, I mean, that is all the questions I have. Is there anything else, any other knowledge you want to drop or anything you want to ask me?
No, I really appreciate you doing this. This is very real. It's good to hear different perspectives in the different fields of healthcare. So I think this is a great idea, and I really appreciate you taking the time to interview me and for me to share my experience and everything, especially with podiatry. So,
I appreciate having you on as a guest and appreciate your time. Thanks so much. I know school is not easy, so any moment you have, you spent it, you know, talking to me. So I really appreciate that. Thank you for being a guest, and thanks for sharing so much knowledge. I think this will be a really informative episode for people listening. So thank you.
Thank you, of course.
All right. Well, Stephanie, I'll let you get out of here. Enjoy the nice sunshiny day. Maybe get to the pool if you can. And yes. Have a great one. I really appreciate it.
You too. Have a good week.
All right, you
and
too.
Congratulations again.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye, Stephanie. Nice talking with you.
Bye.
All right. That was Stephanie, second year podiatry student. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed. To those in the game and those on their way up, keep grinding and don't let anyone take your dream away from you. Thank you.